Lead, guide, and direct all of it. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Looking forward to judgment. How many can say that they're truly looking forward to judgment? Hopefully all of you Christians can say that you're looking forward to judgment. Because then you know you got a confidence in your salvation. You got a confidence in your walk with the Lord. So if you're not looking forward to judgment, I urge you to pray, study, turn your life over to the Lord completely. Lord, ultimate authority. If He is not your ultimate authority, if you've done things your own way, if you've done things you know are against His Word, then I could see why you might not be so anxious to have judgment. But we all need to have a relationship with God, walking so closely with Him that we have a desire for Judgment Day to come, for the opportunity to stand there before the Bema Judgment, the Judgment Seat of Christ, as Christians. Looking forward to that. Because we all know, as it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We know we're all going to die. You say, well, how about the rapture? We're not going to die when we get the rapture. Actually, if you look at the true definition of death, it's separation from our mortal bodies. And in that moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when we get our glorified body, the old body basically dies away and you get your new body. So in that sense, there will be a moment of death there in that. You're separating from the old man. The old flesh is all gone. And then there'll be a judgment. Because that's what he says. But after this, the judgment. If we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He talks about this judgment here. Of course, this is a letter written by Paul to the church at Corinth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he addresses it in verse 9 through 15 as we read, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." A judgment that is coming, a testing, a trial, a burning away of all of that would be the wood, hay, and the stubble. We say, what's the wood, hay, and the stubble? That would be any work that you did that was in vain, any work that was really not productive, anything that you did for your own glory that might have brought you some praise amongst men, but wasn't really the work of God. It may have been some charitable work that you did to save the spotted owl. What good is that for eternity? None. Because we know that it's all going to be vaporized when He burns this planet into nothingness. Why should we be so busily or so anxious or so energetic to save the planet? As we know, coming up is going to be Earth Day, where all those Earth worshipers get to worship Mother Earth and so forth. They're distracted. You say, well, it sounds like a worthy cause to save the spotted owl or the snail darter or the whale or the dolphin or bring coyotes back into the neighborhood so they can eat our livestock and our pets and endanger our children because the coyote has a right to be here, or the wolves or anything like that, because they have a right, animals' rights, all this stuff. distractions. Satan. Like, well, it's a worthy cause. God spoke these creatures into existence and we have a responsibility to look after them. Yes, we do. We are stewards. But we are never to raise anything up above its set place in God's plan. We have been given dominion over this planet, over the animals. They do not have any rights. We can provide them with things that the Lord has given us direction to provide. But they do not have rights. Rights are God-given. And God did not put anything in the scriptures that would tell us that animals have any kind of rights. So if you've spent your life in vain trying to help animals, that would be something that would be of consideration of wood, hay, and stubble. It's temporary. It may be a temporary benefit for this planet right now, but we got to always keep our eyes on the end game, you might say. Judgment Day. What is going to happen to this planet? It's going to be vaporized, burned away, completely gone. So all those animals that you're trying to save, they're going to be gone. Because we know we have to look forward to, as Christians, a new heaven and a new earth, as we'll read as we continue this, where He's going to restore all things. He's going to recreate everything anew, as He tells us in His Word. So we don't have to be distracted by what might seem like a good cause, but really, it's a distraction, because what we need to be focused on is saving souls, saving people, saving humanity. Saving, that is the priority. Teaching people to follow the will of the Lord, teaching people to understand the Word of God, helping them, drawing them in, filling up the churches so that they can grow closer to the Lord, so they can get saved, so they can have eternity to look forward to. And Judgment Day to look forward to. So we really need to get our priorities straight. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying to abandon anything to do with helping the planet or helping the animals. Because, as I said before, we are stewards. We've been given a responsibility to maintain things properly. So do not abuse the blessings that God has put upon us, has poured upon us, and that one of those many blessings is the animals themselves. They are a blessing to man. But if there's an animal that comes along that is not a blessing, that is a curse, that is a problem, that it becomes an adversary, then you have dominion over that animal, and there's nothing wrong with annihilating that or eliminating it, such as some of the species that they've altered and have got these pit bulls. I know I'm going to make a lot of enemies, all you dog lovers out here. Oh, I got a beautiful pit bull. Yeah, well, that beautiful pit bull under right conditions would rip your throat out and not think twice about it. That is not something that is beneficial to mankind. So we've got to be very careful with our priorities. We've got to be very careful where we put our love, our care, and our concern, because what is really most important in that is put God number one. We put God number one and love our neighbors. And we also have a possibility of stewardship. Don't forget that. So, when we're at Judgment Day, what do we want? We want the ones, our works that are precious, as it says here, that are of value, which it says, now if any man build upon this foundation, what foundation? Jesus Christ. Gold, that's precious. Silver, that's precious. Precious stones, that's precious. Something of substantial value. Is it substantial value to you? Yes, because it's going to gain you rewards here and for eternity. But the key is it's substantial value to the world of God's kingdom, to God, to His work. That is what is precious. That is what is going to remain. That is what you're going to, as it says here, have a reward. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward that can be now with blessings here, more opportunities to serve Him, as well as a reward that you'll receive that you can enjoy forever. If any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So if you've wasted your life doing something that is going to be burned away, And you're a Christian, but yet you got distracted because Satan put some other priority in your life. You're not going to go to hell for it. You're just going to lose those rewards. That's the suffering loss of us here. Rewards that you could have received that you're going to lose. Blessings that you would have received here, but you're going to lose. That's the loss that he's speaking of here. But your soul is okay. But wouldn't it be great to be confident in knowing that the work that you're doing is going to remain through judgment? So you can look forward to judgment day. 1 Thessalonians. Looking forward to that day that he speaks of when he wrote this letter to the church at Thessalonica, to the Thessalonians in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Y'all already know where I'm going with this. Verse 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Such awesome words to be comforted by. Knowing that the Lord is going to come back and get us and give us a glorified body, a body that will never decay, that will not be filled with sin, that will not have the curse, that will not waver, will not grow old, won't have any of those problems. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. After the rapture goes into this verse here, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're going to answer for it. They say, well, wait a minute, all my sins have been washed in blood, I'm okay. Yes, that's great. That's awesome. But have you prayed recently and asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins since you first received him as your Lord and Savior and got washed in the blood? We've been given the guidelines in the Scriptures that if we waver, if we fall away, if we get distracted, if we start building that hay and stubble, that we have an opportunity to get things right. We take it to the Lord, who is our advocate, our high priest, sitting on the right hand of the Father. Pray to him, and he will cleanse you of that. So that when you're at that judgment seat of Christ, that you are clean and washed in the blood completely, and there won't be any bad brought up. Because the only bad that's going to be brought up is what you have not brought up and asked forgiveness for. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. Ask him every day. Ask him multiple times a day. Because we're all sinning every day. We're still in this cursed body. We're still in this fleshly body. We're still having that tug of war within us. The good and the evil. The two personalities that is there. You say, well, I'm not like that. Well, yes, you are. We are all struggling. Paul was struggling with this. He tells us in his scriptures that that tug of war that we have to put up with now that we have this flesh body, this body that is pulled away by vanity, pulled away by pride, pulled away by greed, by lust, pulled off of the straight and narrow because of those. When we do that, the Holy Ghost tells you, he lets you know it. Ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me, get me back on a straight and narrow, get me on the pathway I need to be, and he'll wash that clean. So that when you're there, it'll all be the precious, valuable foundation based on Jesus Christ's work that you have done. So that it'll be based on whether it be good. There won't be no bad to bring up because you'll have washed it in the blood again. Like I said so many times, it's not that you get born again and again and again. It doesn't happen that way. You get born again once. But after that, you have opportunities. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to build a right building upon that foundation? Or are you going to waste the time that he's blessed you with? We've got to be very careful with everything that we do. And in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. How did that wife make herself ready? Was it based on her work? Because the wife he's talking about here is the church. And this is going to happen immediately after the rapture. We're going to go up there, and there's going to be a judgment seat, and there's going to be a marriage. After we get judged, then we're going to be this big, beautiful wedding, and the marriage supper, and wondrous things to look forward to for eternity. But he tells us here that the wife hath made herself ready. How? We, the church, make ourselves ready by going to the Lord, asking forgiveness. It wasn't that the wife became ready, or that the wife was introduced at that time or brought in at that time, which would be salvation. It's that the wife had made her wife already established, which means the Christians who are already established. How do you get ready as a Christian? First step is to become a Christian. Second step is to stay on the straight and narrow. Ask forgiveness. Stay close. Listen to the Holy Ghost. And you make yourself ready for Judgment Day by staying in that communication with God and by asking for the guidelines, for His wisdom, for His forgiveness on a continuous basis. Not just once and forget about it. Jesus Christ paid for all sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. Yes, those are bought. They're paid for. We sin, He's already paid the price for that sin. But we have a second responsibility to acknowledge that free gift of salvation, that payment that He paid, and get our part of that payment applied upon us by asking forgiveness for it. And then we get washed. Then we become ready to be that bride, to be that wife, as it says here, clean and pure, white, because we've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So do that. Don't let your pride get in the way. Don't let anybody distract you, anything distract you from staying on the straight and narrow and yielding to the will of the Lord. Because we have such awesome things to look forward to. One of my favorites that you know I always like to go to is Revelation chapter 21. I made reference to this earlier about how He's going to speak everything into existence once again. The beautiful earth that He spoke into existence some 6,000 years ago, that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden there with all those beautiful animals that did not devour each other, all those wondrous varieties of creatures and the wondrous varieties of plants, and with no thorns, with no disease, with no pestilence whatsoever, no death, no sorrow, no suffering. And now we can look forward to, for eternity, that as well, as He says here in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, we just read about that. We need to be as this here. Be prepared. How do you get prepared? You ask the Lord to keep you on a straight and narrow so that you are prepared. In verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." The Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all together right there in New Jerusalem on the new earth that He's going to build in the new heavens. Because all this, everything that is in existence today, all this earth, all the universe, all that is going to be wiped away completely because it's tarnished with sin. If this event comes about that He's speaking of here in Revelation chapter 21, will be a whole brand new heaven with that new universe, with that new sun and moon, with the new stars, with the new earth. How big is it going to be? We don't know, but it's going to be big enough to do the job and be big enough for us to be able to enjoy for eternity with all the many blessings He's going to pour upon us, such as He says here in verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All the crying, all that sorrow that you can have from looking back and regretting things. All the sorrow that you think you may have about the lost loved ones that did not receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and that you know are living in, not living, but dying in hell for eternity. You may be sorrowful. You may think, how can I be happy in heaven when I know my father or brother or mother or somebody is in hell? We don't understand that now. We are human. We have only a limited amount of understanding. But we can look at His words and know that He's going to comfort us and that we won't even be sorrowful for such of an event that they might be going through. How is He going to do that for us? I don't know, but He tells us He's going to do it, and I got faith He's going to do it. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more separation. That's awesome. Once we get connected with God, that is permanent. We'll never be separated again. Awesome. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And I know many of y'all are sitting out here right now in pain. It's a daily occurrence. People have come to me and complain about pain and stuff, and I say, isn't it great? You got pain? At least you know you're alive. I said, that lets you know. You wake up in the morning, you got aches and pains, you know you're alive. You know you got another day of opportunity to serve the Lord. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That means the beautiful creatures that He spoke into existence, the beautiful huge dinosaurs, the tiny little creepy crawlies, all the beautiful creatures that He spoke into existence from the very beginning, all new again. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. True and faithful. Whether they choose to believe them or not, they're still true. There's people out there that don't want to think about eternity. They don't want to think about the rapture. They want to think about now. They want to think about today. They want to have fun while they're here and thinking that once they're gone, it's it. It's over with. That's terrible. That's no hope. That's no looking forward to eternity and looking forward to judgment day. But we can, if we are faithful and true to His words, we know that His words are true and faithful, as He just said here. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Freely. Why? Because He paid the price. And He's going to pour that blessing upon us freely. We're not going to have to work for it. It's going to be free. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Inherit all things. That means all those wondrous things He's going to speak into existence will be ours because we are of His family, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of God, so that it'll all belong to us as well. We've been teaching here lately about the last days and our 20 prophetic events yet to be fulfilled, 20 Prophecies to Go series that we've been teaching on, based on that Tim LaHaye study Bible that he has. And in that, we've been going over some of these things to look forward to for eternity. And if you just imagine in your mind the best and most beautiful situation that you've ever experienced or been in, and pile upon that 1,000 times more, that ain't even going to come close to what the Lord has in store for us that love Him and are looking forward to His return. Are you looking forward to Judgment Day? You need to be looking forward to it. And if you're not looking forward to it, ask Him to forgive you, to get you fired up, excited about being a Christian, so that you can also look forward to Judgment Day. so that you can hear those words, Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Of course, we know this verse here is where he's talking about the last days. He's talking about the millennial kingdom, and this particular verse here is speaking of that. Because judgment will come at a time that we are raptured, we go to the Bema judgment, judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, tribulation is going on down here, that's 7 years. At the end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ comes back down the earth. All sin is wiped out. All those are killed that are ungodly. He'll establish the millennial kingdom. And when he establishes the millennial kingdom, this verse right here applies. And the judgment that you went through on the Bema judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, then based on what you did as a Christian during your life, will establish your responsibilities during the 1,000 years, during the millennial period. If you had those works that were burned away, you're not going to have much to do. But if you had those works that were precious, they were gold and silver and that were of value, you have achieved something good for the Lord, then He's going to pile even more on you opportunities to serve Him even more during the millennial period. That 1,000 years. Because it tells us over and over. We're going to rule and reign with Him that 1,000 years. All of us Christians. And it'll be based upon our works after we've got saved to the point of the rapture or till we pass away. So all of it needs to be considered, everything that you do every single day, because there's a long-term responsibility that goes along with that, long-term rewards that go along with that. It's like, well, I don't want to do nothing else. Once I leave here, I'm tired. I just want to go up there and kick back and enjoy myself for eternity. Well, don't you think serving the Lord is enjoyable? Don't you think serving the Lord when He's sitting right there on that throne in Jerusalem, ruling and reigning for 1,000 years, being able to work for Him again is going to be an awesome opportunity, something to look forward to? Yeah, I think it's going to be great. An awesome opportunity. But we know, well, as Christians, this is just the first part. This is a basic training, basically. You're not going in the front line yet. You're going to be doing that during the millennial period. Then you got more work to do. Work that you should be looking forward to and anxious to do. You don't hear too many preachers talking about that because they, oh, work, work, work. All you're talking about is work. Well, that's our responsibility. That's why He spoke us into an existence. So let's get busy doing it. And He tells us right here, based on what we're doing this time around, is going to determine what we're going to do during the millennial period. And then just imagine the rewards that we're going to be able to gain during the millennial period that then we'll be able to enjoy for eternity when He speaks the new heaven and earth into existence. So much to look forward to. Yes, responsibilities and awesome work still ahead of us for 1,000 years. And then blessings beyond the wildest imagine for eternity after that. So much. I mean, it gives me goosebumps. But His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Let's all be looking forward to Judgment Day. If you are not, I urge you to get it right with the Lord so you also can look forward to Judgment Day. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You so much for the opportunity to serve You. Lead, guide, and direct us that everything that we do always bring honor and glory to You. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.